cold open today because we want to talk a little bit about an organization that's helping to fight global poverty, the Borgen Project. Over the past 20 years, the number of people who are malnourished have been reduced by 50%, and more children are in school today than at any time period in history. Global poverty can seem daunting, but success in alleviating suffering is occurring across the globe. To learn how you can volunteer at the Borgen Project and take action locally to help our global community, visit borgenproject.org. There'll be a link with more info in the description. Now please enjoy the episode. Welcome to today's episode of Watchable.
With Bethy Hernandez.
And Sophia Ritter.
Two cousins talk movies and TV.
Basically, if it's entertainment related, we got you covered.
Today, we're discussing the controversy of Hamilton and various other things. That's the best thing I could think of.
Basically, we're talking about cancel culture, but mainly framed around Hamilton, which is one of the latest victims of the cancel culture debate.
This is a very interesting time to talk about this, so we thought, why not?
Yep. We both have very heavy opinion. I feel like everyone always has heavy opinions on this topic matter, so it's hard not to. But before we completely dive into cancel culture, do you have a media pick of the week for us?
I don't have a media pick of the week that's like typical, like a movie or a show, but I've been reading Harry Potter, The Order of the Phoenix.
I love that
to
book.
My little brother. And I'm just like realizing that it's one of my favorite books.
Yes.
Because I'm so excited to get to certain parts with him. I'm just, it's a really fun book. Very angsty, fun, drama-filled book.
You see, the fifth book, and you definitely know this, but the fifth book is like my favorite, and people do not agree with
yeah.
me, but that's underrepresented. It's long. I like how long it is. It's just angsty and fun, and you finally see Harry like having the anger that you feel like built up within you through reading the series. I love that book.
Yep.
Okay. My
so good
media pick of the week is the Netflix movie Lovebirds, which is like a rom-com, but really weird. It's the same guy from, his name is Kumail Nanjiani. He is my sister and I's favorite comedian. He's also in Stuber. He's going to be in a Marvel movie next year, if Marvel movies ever come out again. And he was in, what's it called? Something about, one of my favorite rom-coms of all time, but he's just such awkward, hilarious humor. I'm not a big rom-com person, but he relies so heavily on awkward humor, and basically him and his girlfriend break up at the beginning of the movie, and they have to go on this really weird heist that's kind of like The Amazing Race, and it's just all wrapped around that concept. And at one point, there's a cult meeting. It's hilarious and weird, and I just really had fun watching it. So I hope more people could check it out.
I think I saw like an ad for it on Netflix, and my dad and I were considering watching it, so I'd definitely give it a shot. I don't have nothing else to do right now.
It's really funny. One of the things I wanted to get like out before we completely dived into Hamilton was, what is your general opinion on, I don't know, cancel culture? Like, do you think there are pros to it? Do you mainly just see it as like annoying?
It really depends on the situation. It can be kind of toxic when people jump on a bandwagon of having the same opinion. Because you don't have to have the same opinion, and there's not always a right or wrong answer to certain things. But at the same time, some things deserve to get a little bit of cancel culture shade thrown at them. I know I'm not very involved with YouTube scandals, but certain YouTubers getting canceled, I mean, sometimes the reasons are valid. Certain celebrities, the reasons are valid. But it just depends, and I think it's important that you form your own opinion before jumping on the cancel culture bandwagon.
I think cancel culture, the main problem with it is people only see things one-dimensionally, right?
Yeah.
But people also only see cancel culture one-dimensionally. They don't, you know, so it kind of all lends into the same problem in the end, that people don't look at these problems diversely and how complicated they truly are.
Exactly.
And I don't know. That's just the main thing. It's just so often it's just fueled by aimless anger. And a lot of that time, the anger is valid, but it's just an anger fest and they don't really get to the real problem. I don't know. There are benefits to it. Like, some things we need to call people out on, and sometimes it just attacks people relentlessly for no good reason. So it's definitely really complicated.
It really is. And so this episode is going to be kind of hard for both of us, I think. But we just wanted to, I don't know, throw our different opinions out there.
Anyway, we're going to get a little bit more out there than we've normally been. We normally stay pretty comfortable, but I don't know. I think it'll be interesting.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right. So, Bethy, I think since you are the one who's most upset about this recent Hamilton cancel culture debate, would you like to explain to people, in case they haven't heard about it, what exactly is going on?
So, right now, there's controversy with Hamilton, mainly because it is out on Disney Plus, and I guess the whole obsession and, like, phenomenon of Hamilton is gaining popularity again. But when it was popular before, it was a different time that we were living in, and it had just, like, a cult following. And now that it's, like, had a resurgence, we're living in a time of, like, COVID and the Black Lives Matter protests, and so people have been interpreting it differently, which is totally valid, I think. But at the same time, they're saying that Hamilton is glorifying the founding fathers. They're also saying it's about slave owners, which they don't like. And there's also been some talk about Lin and his decision to bring Hamilton to Puerto Rico when he did. But just all of that has culminated to this new hashtag, cancel Hamilton. So that's what we're here to talk about. Sorry, that was a long, drawn-out explanation, but...
But honestly, and I spent a fair share of time on the internet, I have not seen a whole lot on this, but I've heard, like, a lot of my friends ranting about it. So
yeah,
I needed that introduction a little bit. I don't even know where to start.
I just want your first impression on this. Like... I don't know, you're not as obsessed with Hamilton as I have been, so...
True. So less biased source,
kind of. Yeah.
I don't know, it's just, I do see some merit in some of their claims, but I don't think it's worth destroying this art completely. I think it's fair to call out some of these things, but I don't think it's fair to go as far as they want to go, like, taking it off Disney Plus.
Yeah,
because it has done a lot for Black creators and just giving them roles and parts they never would have been given. So,
yeah, I think even Lin came out and said that the criticism is valid, which I really appreciate. But I totally agree with you. I think the criticism is valid, but also, like, it is important to be educated and aware of all the media you're taking in. So there's one positive thing that people are really analyzing that. But at the same time, I think the judgment is really misplaced with Hamilton, because yes, the show is about mainly slaveholders or people who are, like, passive in the sense to slavery, and they just maybe necessarily didn't like it, but they didn't actively speak out against it, you know? But and there's no way to deny that, but it encourages people to, like, look beyond textbooks and to educate themselves about, like, history and what and our country's flaws. It's not saying these people were great. I think that's what people are mixing up here. They're thinking that Hamilton is saying and glorifying founding fathers, saying they're amazing people. But I think it's really just encouraging people to question the founding fathers, to look them up on their own time and see their flaws.
Yeah, I definitely agree with everything you just said. And I actually think it kind of devalues Hamilton if as a whole when you say that it's just glorifying the founding fathers, because it's way more complex than that. You know, it shows their weaknesses and their wrong choices. It definitely shows Hamilton wrong choices, even if they didn't highlight, like, him buying slaves for his family members. Like, and that maybe they should have.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know, it's just hard because you have to take into account that it's an art form and it was made primarily to entertain. And that was the purpose behind it, why it was made. And they were just trying to tell the best story. And I don't really think he was trying to not, like, highlight slave owners. I think he was trying to tell the best story by not including that aspect in the play.
To make improvements, maybe he could have had more mentions of slavery. But I do think that when you're trying to fit something into a 2.5-hour musical already, some of that got lost. And he acknowledged that. And so I think as long as you're acknowledging that and educating yourself beyond the experience, then it's okay. And it's not as if Hamilton didn't, the musical didn't mention slavery whatsoever. It's definitely brought up multiple times, but of course there's always room to grow, I guess. But
one little criticism that I do have about it is in the, I think it's the last song, and it is honestly my favorite part of the musical, especially rewatching it now. But Eliza says something like she spoke out against slavery. Yeah. And it kind of gives you the impression that he was against slavery. Like, that's kind of what I got from that when I wasn't as educated on it.
Yeah. I don't know enough about the history, honestly, to really dive into what their actual, like, the actual individuals in real life, what their positions on slavery was. But it's a really difficult thing to talk about. But I think of it this way. The founding fathers, if they were to see themselves represented in this show, if they could watch, get a ticket to Hamilton and see, I'm sure they would probably not like how they're represented, if that makes people feel any better. I can guarantee you that.
Even beyond, like, obviously they'd be pissed about who is playing their part.
Yeah.
But I also think they would just be pissed in general about how we showed that. You know, they made, like, Burt was kind of crazy, and we kind of highlight that.
They had affairs, and...
Exactly.
They had...
And they did a lot of things to avoid people knowing that.
They, like, especially, like, the room where it happens, these behind-the-scene deals where no one knew what happened, but that somehow that's how our country got started. And I...
Exactly.
I just think people maybe need to look deeper into... I don't know. Another thing... that I think people are overlooking when they're saying cancel Hamilton is, you mentioned this before, it's giving roles to people of color on Broadway. And if Lynn would have made this show and having just a bunch of white guys in wigs, then that would be a different story. It'd be a different story. But instead, it makes the show a celebration of diversity and culture in our country where it is now, I guess. Not necessarily glorification of the past. I don't know.
And you got to look, like, Davy Diggs, for example, he went on to be pretty successful after his run on Hamilton. It really gave a lot of people that jumpstart they needed. Yeah. Or is it Philip who's going to be in the Heights next year?
Yeah, yeah. Anthony Ramos.
This isn't the only musical he's ever written. You know, like, look at his work in the Heights before you want to completely devalue someone.
Yeah, you can't say... like, he whitewashes all of his plays or something. You just can't even make that statement because it's not true.
Yeah.
But I do agree there needs to be more stories on Broadway that have more diverse, like, show more representation so that people can see themselves on the stage, you know?
Yeah.
But it's no fault of Lynn.
No. God, no.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's clearly doing his work to make sure that's not the case. So, but overall, I do respect that people are open to criticizing something.
Yeah.
And they're open to looking further into it. But I think we need to have a little bit of a broader perspective when it comes to that.
And it can be hard when it's something you love to truly find a way to criticize it. But I think you did a good job. And I think another reason that people are so quick to jump on the cancel Hamilton bandwagon, and this is true of a lot of cancel culture things, as it is a thing that a lot of theater kids love, and they're often our nerds love, and people love to just hate on something just because it's popular, and the people who love it tend to be hated on already on the internet quite a bit. So I feel like it's just an easy target for them to find something that they love and say, no, you're horrible for liking it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. I've noticed that a lot. And what's actually funny is all the cancel Hamilton tweets, like the majority of them, aren't even, like, they don't get around that much. There's not that many likes and shares. And I don't know. It's just really strange. Sorry. It's just...
Yeah, for sure.
Cancel culture is a really hard to understand thing for me.
It's so complicated. Because... something kind of similar happened a couple months ago with John Green, who wrote The Fault in Our Stars, which, and I think a similar thing is happening with Hamilton, is Hamilton was really popular a few years ago, and a lot of people aren't into it anymore, and so they just want to make fun of it.
Yep.
And so if you months ago, this tweet went around, like, it blew up with, like, 200,000 or something likes on it. And it was, like, John Green is, like, a child molest, like, a pedophile. Have you seen how he writes about teenage girls? And, like, it was beyond ridiculous. There's this full thing on Twitter that, like, cancel him. And it was just, like, bull crap. And their response was basically, like, look, people, it's not really a big deal. People like to ridicule something they used to love and judge mm-hmm. others for loving it now because they have moved on and they think, assume everyone else has. And I think that's a major part of what's happening right now with Hamilton.
Yeah.
Because both of the creators are, like, insanely good people who donate so much of their money, you know, and, like, it's just you look at one little bit of something and it looks toxic and horrible, but if you look at the bigger picture, it's not really a problem.
Yeah, and I kind of understand in some ways why people jump on these cancel culture bandwagons, because mm-hmm. sometimes there's generally, like, good intentions going behind jumping on that, because mm-hmm. I myself, when I saw something saying cancel Hamilton, got a little concerned and I was like, should I not like mm-hmm. this?
Yeah.
And so I started looking into it. But it's so easy to fall into that, to be, I don't know. Because if you genuinely want to be a good person and take mm-hmm. consume good media, you don't want to like something that's being canceled, in quotes. Exactly. You know? So I think the most important thing for people considering jumping on the cancel culture bandwagon to just do some research of your own, but
yeah,
again, it depends on the thing that's being canceled and why. Because there are some things that legit just
yes
100%. Need to be canceled. But
and I think we'll get to those in a sec. But I did want to say one last thing
yeah.
on this particular issue is our real, especially America's climate right now, is really toxic and scary. And I think a lot of Americans are feeling completely hopeless
mm-hmm.
and they want so desperately to do something that will make them feel like the world is a little bit better of a place. And so I think because of that, people are jumping on, like, we need to cancel everybody. You know what yeah. I mean? Like, every little thing that's slightly politically incorrect, we need to cancel because we are so ashamed of how our country is represented right now for a variety of reasons.
Yeah. And it kind of makes sense. So rarely are things one-sided. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
So, let's actually jump completely to the other side of cancel culture. We just talked lengthily about something we thought was unfairly.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to talk a little bit about the Redskins, which I think was very fairly.
It's a fair example of, yeah.
Yes. Because, you know, like we were saying earlier, sometimes we need to come together to officially cancel something.
Yes.
So, I don't know. How is... Because I know neither one of us are professional football fans.
No.
Let's be honest.
No.
But I honestly, this was something I never thought was possible to change because it was owned by an old white guy mm-hmm. who was stubborn. And I don't know, this actually gave me a little bit of faith in the internet and showed me that this activism can actually be really used to make big changes, because then, like, big companies started seeing how damaging this was for their brand to be attached to it, and they pulled out.
Yeah.
And in the end, we finally won, like, and people have been trying to do this for 20 years or something, maybe more.
So, I'm not very informed on this. So, what mm-hmm. exactly happened? Did they end up changing the name? Are they going to take steps toward that?
This is probably going to change by the time this podcast is released on Monday. But right now, they announced that they are changing their name. I don't think they've announced their name change yet.
Okay.
But yeah, they're changing their name.
That's good. See, a good mm-hmm. example of how people coming together on social media can get stuff done. And it's kind of
exactly.
weird. But in that case, there's no different perspective to look at. I know I talked a lot about,
mm-hmm.
you gotta look at, it's not rarely one-sided, but for that,
yeah.
the Redskins, that's a blatantly derogative term towards Native
exactly.
Americans. There's no way they could validate using that as their name. So
mm-hmm.
definitely a good use of cancel culture right there.
Yeah. I've watched a few videos just trying to grasp why people would mm-hmm. not be on the side of changing their name, and it was an interesting part of YouTube. I don't hope to visit again soon, but basically some people in the administration the Trump administration. We're being political. I might as well call it out. Mm-hmm. And they were saying that, like, he was quoting, like, three different Native Americans who liked the name and used that to represent their entire culture. And they're like, yeah, this is actually disrespectful to change it. And then basically all the other arguments was that the Redskins gave into hate culture and they gave into cancel culture and they're wimps. And, like, gosh, it's weird side of the internet.
Sometimes I can't even, there are some days I can't handle the internet and looking at comments on things. It's just hard.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Sometimes I think it's good to see that, like, other people view the world more complexly and differently than you do. And sometimes I'm like, you know what? I don't want to know.
Exactly.
Okay, so there has been, we're just going to talk about a couple random little celebrities that have been canceled in that great of death. Like, one recently is J.K. Rowling, which we have very complex feelings on. That's really hard for us.
Very hard.
That was actually your media pick of
the week.
I know.
I was thinking about that
Phoenix
when I mentioned it, because it's hard. Because it seems like, in general, the Harry Potter fandom has canceled J.K. Rowling completely, but not the books. Which, that's kind of the point I'm at right now.
Yeah.
Everyone is saying, oh, Daniel Radcliffe, such a good young writer for his age.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of the position I've taken, because J.K. Rowling has done so much stuff over the years and has said so much stuff over the years that it's almost unredeemable.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It's just really hard and frustrating when something you truly love seems to almost be represented by something you cannot agree with in any terms.
No.
And my personal opinion is, I think she truly has changed quite substantially since she wrote most of the books, if not all of them. And I think it honestly, I separate it now completely in my mind. And I think she's a changed person who I no longer respect basically anything she's made. And the last few things she's been a part of, I haven't been a fan of anyway. So I feel like this new person who she's become isn't representative of who I want to be following. But I love the Harry Potter community. They're honestly great people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to completely hate on Harry Potter, but I don't think I'll care much for their new content.
I exactly agree. Mm-hmm. That is where I'm at right now with that. See, there are ways to cancel something but not cancel it completely in terms of that. And J.K. Rowling, I don't know, man, never heard of her.
I was gonna touch on a couple other YouTubers who've recently been canceled, like Shane Dawson.
Oh yeah.
I just don't have the energy, so we're gonna skip.
I don't follow that kind of scandal, so I don't know why. I don't know these people. I don't know why they're canceled in the first place, so I'm just gonna stay out of that.
Like, honestly, my little corner of YouTube is, like, Nerdfighteria and, like, DIY videos, like, really wholesome content.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, it makes me angry that that's what people think of when they think of YouTube. But also, I know very, like, I have seen a few of his videos and I don't feel like I can contribute to the conversation. It just makes me angry. So
yeah,
we're going to skip it because I don't have the mental energy.
Exactly. I'm just going to stick on my little corner of YouTube where they do historical fashion, because I don't know why it is so fun to watch.
I love those videos.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. Oh,
we don't have the energy for anything else.
No. Do you want to touch on Mount Rushmore?
Yeah.
The crazy horse thing real quick
this
before we wrap up.
Another really hard thing to talk about, because I myself have been to Mount Rushmore many times, and I grew up
many times
just like loving it without giving much thought to controversy around it, because I wasn't aware of that. And part of the reason I'm not aware of the controversy of Mount Rushmore is because they don't teach you about it in the visitor centers. They don't teach you that it's Native American land that this is built on. And they don't teach you that the Gutzon Borglum, the builder of it, was like a white supremacist.
Yeah.
And so overall, my takeaway on Mount Rushmore is, should it be removed? No, because just in retrospect, it's never going to be destroyed.
Yeah.
We just know that's not going to happen. But should there be like more education on Native American stories and how the land was taken away from them? Yes. And should they like hire more interpretive rangers that are Native American? Yes. And should there be some form of reparations in a way to Native Americans? Yes. That's just my takeaway.
And I have done a little bit of research on this, not a ton. And because, honestly, the running joke in my family was the Hernandezes could just, like, post a picture of, like, every time they go to Mount Rushmore instead of, like, a yearly picture to show them, like, growing up. Because you guys have been that many times.
Yeah.
And when I was younger, I used to have a different director than it currently does, and he actually was a Native American.
It did.
And I have a very vague memory of going to the service they have at night where they put the flag down, you know. You've been to it multiple times.
Oh, yeah, four times, yeah.
Yeah. And he used to actually teach people about how it was Native land that was taken away from them, and he did talk about, like, the importance of like the monument, but also the downsides of it. And I think if we can return to something similar to that, that will be leaps and bounds ahead of what we're currently doing, which is just like, wahoo, USA, no problems.
That's, yeah, exactly. I forgot to mention that. But under his direction, I think it was really a different place than it is now. And I read an interview somewhere, and the head there right now believes that there needs to be no change at all. I saw a direct quote from him saying that there needs to be no change. And that's the issue I take with it. Beforehand, they provided a different experience when you went there, a different type of narrative. And it's just not the same. And without that narrative, it becomes something that, I don't know, I can't really get behind like I used to.
Yeah. Like, and it's hard because it is truly a place that you have a lot of fond memories.
Oh, yeah. It was the first place my family vacationed because, you know, Nebraskans,
we're from Nebraska.
It's the place where everyone goes to the Black Hills. But
I think they need to include something in the museum about the artist, like his leanings, and like include that bad part so we can tell the full story. And I think, like, the documentary, like, the mini, because, you know, all national parks have these videos. If you're a national park nerd, you know what I'm talking about. The, like, little, like, mini movies that are, like, 10 minutes long about, like, the park or whatever.
Yeah.
First of all, those movies need to be updated. Like, this is a
so badly.
Random rant. So badly.
I
like,
totally
every time
agree.
I go to a national park, I, like, daydream about, like, having the job of, like, remaking all of those, because dream videographer job there. But regardless of, like, bad timeliness, like, remake those and tell the full story in a more broad sense.
Totally agree. This is hard to talk about because overall, I feel like I should be even more educated on the issues with the Mount Rushmore in general, but I'm not. And I feel like I could be more, I don't know, hopefully we both got across our meaning in what we were saying.
Yeah. I did want to mention Crazy Horse really quick.
Yeah.
Along with the Mount Rushmore debate, because a lot of people truly do not realize how, like, uninformed they are about Crazy Horse, because I've actually been there, and you go there and you kind of get brainwashed in the full thing. And they do teach you some good things about, like, Native Americans or, you know, indigenous people. And you think that, like, it's this great thing they're doing for Native Americans. But then in reality, Native Americans hate that monument because it's destroying their land. Crazy Horse hated to have any depictions of him made, and so the full thing is, it's done by a white family, and, you know, which could be fine, but they are completely in control of it. It's not done by the government at all, and which, honestly, you know, I can kind of, there, that issue is complicated, but the government thing, but the Crazy Horse thing, Native Americans don't like that, so stop justifying Mount Rushmore with Crazy Horse, because it's more complicated than you think it is.
Exactly. Most important thing is to go out and do research for yourself. Get a complex understanding of things, because makes all the difference.
Exactly. So I think we can wrap this up. Honestly, I hope we can talk about something more joyful next week.
Yeah, but I really do enjoy talking about this stuff because it's important.
Yeah, I do too.
And I feel like having this platform, as small as the one we have, it is important to do stuff like this.
Yeah, even though it's a small platform, it's good to make a change when we can. And honestly, all the debates on cancel culture online are just so full of hate and anger. And I just thought it was good that we can have a good discussion without resorting to just blameless anger on either side and like looking at it more complexly than people want to. So I think we did okay.
Yes, same.
So next week, or not next week, 2 weeks from now, I have to get used to saying that one, we are either going to be doing our first book review, which is quite different than what we normally do. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Or we'll be talking about a movie. I don't know if we'll get like, my thing is, I don't know if we have enough people who want to listen to a book review. But I'm really excited about Hank Green's sequel to his series and finale, A Beautifully Foolish Endeavor. My copy is coming today.
Ooh. Can't wait to borrow it from you.
Exactly. So we might talk about that in a couple weeks. We might talk about some random movie. I'll definitely talk about my opinion of it a little bit, even if it's not my full pledge.
So. Exactly. Either way, it'll be a fun time. So.
Exactly. So thanks for listening to this episode of Watchable.
This podcast is edited by Sophia. Our music is from purpleplanet.com and our graphic is by Maria Hernandez.
If you enjoy listening, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us out.
Have an idea on what we should review next? Send us a message on Instagram, Twitter, or Tumblr at Watchable Media.
Join us next time when we discuss a book.
Now go enjoy your day.